is Dr. Cassieri, your instructor for the course on the Book of Joshua. We're going to continue where we left off last time, and that was lesson number 20. We have one last item that we want to look at, and that's Joshua's inheritance, as we continue with lesson 20, which is entitled Dividing the Remaining Land, Part 2, and lesson 20 covers the 19th chapter of Joshua. And we're beginning tape 10, side 2, and we want to turn our attention now to Joshua's inheritance. Amen. We're looking at dividing the remaining land. Let's turn to chapter 19 of Joshua. And we want to look at verses 49 through 51. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah, in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. Now, we see here in Joshua's inheritance, they took time to take care of their leader, Joshua. In verse 49, we just read, when they had made an end of dividing the land for an inheritance of their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. And what we want to look at as we continue here is, you take time, it's very important to take care of your leader. As we think of it, first to Jesus. First to Jesus. As we look at, and we know that Jesus, or Joshua is a type of Jesus. So, Jesus should be first in our life. Amen. And we read in 1 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Timothy in chapter 1. In verse number 17, we read this. The Bible says this. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So just as they honored and took care of their leader Joshua, so aren't we first to honor, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be first in our life. He should get all the honor and all the glory. Revelations chapter 11. Revelations chapter 11 verse 15. We read, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So we see we need to take care, they took care of their leader, amen, Joshua, and as we apply this to ourselves as Christians, we first to give honor to Jesus Christ, and then we're also to honor and to take care of the church leader, amen, which would be the pastor. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, let the elders, and of course we know elders is same as pastor or bishop, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So the pastor is to be given accounted worthy of double honor. Amen. Also in verse 18 it says, "For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." Then we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." So, as we continue here, we see that honor is due, amen, to the leader of the church, the pastor. We also see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse number 13, it says, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So we're to esteem the pastor, amen, very highly in love because of their work, because of the pastor's work as he labors in the word and he feeds the flock, the church of God, amen, and he's going to be held accountable for how he watches for each individual soul within the local New Testament church. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 13, we read in verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And then in verse 17 it says, "Obey them." You know, be loyal to your leaders. Obey them. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Amen. Be loyal. Submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So along with giving them, the church leader, honor and submitting to them, to their authority, it's because they're held at a higher accountability, amen, than the average Christian, the average person in the pew, amen. They're going to have to give an account on how they watched over each individual soul within their congregation. And then this also relates to government leaders as well as business leaders, is the scriptures tell us to give honor to whom honor is due, amen. In Romans chapter 13, so we're making a spiritual application here, as we saw that the children of Israel took care of Joshua, amen, their leader. They gave him an inheritance, amen. They saw that he was rewarded for his labors. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor," amen. So we go back to Joshua now, and we see that he does deserve his choice of land, amen, as we go back to Joshua 19. We see here in verse 15 of Joshua 19, it says, "And according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. He built the city and dwelt therein," amen. Now let's compare this what it says in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter number 2 with me, in verse number 13, Philippians 2:13, we read, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure," amen. So just as they gave the choice land, we're to give ourselves, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to Joshua as a type of, for him to do as he sees fit, as it pleases him, amen. We see that Joshua builds his an inheritance, a city, We just read that in Joshua 19, that he, it says, and they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. So we see that he builds his inheritance, a city. Now, remember what Jesus said in Joshua 14. In John chapter 14. In John 14, we read, verses 1 to 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. Just as Joshua, amen, who is a type of Jesus Christ, built him a city, we know that Jesus Christ himself is preparing a place for each and every Christian, every born-again Christian. There awaits a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. All those that are listening to this lesson that are born again, and including myself, there awaits at least one mansion awaiting each and every one of us. Amen. And then we see in Revelations chapter 21, it talks about the city that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. Amen. In Revelations chapter 21 and verses 1 to 3, we read, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Yes, that city he's preparing, the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing for us, is called the New Jerusalem. Amen. And we see that that the inheritance of Joshua is among the people and not above them. Amen. In one of these days, amen, you and I will be able to honor our faithful leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in Revelations chapter 5. In Revelations chapter 5, beginning in verse 9 and following. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the numbers of them were 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb, for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever." Yes, someday we'll be able to honor and sing a new song, amen, to our leader, to our faithful leader, who's ever faithful. Even though we fail him, he never fails us, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Revelations chapter 19, verse 11, we read, "And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And of course, that's a picture of the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns, amen, with his church to deliver Israel from the Antichrist. Well, that concludes lesson number 20, entitled Dividing the Remaining Land, part number 2. Now we want to turn our attention to Lesson number 21, which will cover the 20th chapter of Joshua. And this lesson number 20 is entitled The Cities of Refuge. Just a bit of an introduction on the Cities of Refuge chapter on our lesson 21. Refuge is a great concept. We have so much refuge, places of safety all around us. Our homes are safe. Our cars are safer. Our highways are safer. Our microwaves are safer. Our food is safer. And so we are being led to believe. A place of perfect refuge is still the most pressing need of the human heart. We know we have sinned. We know we are in trouble with God. All this religious claptrap in the world can't seem to remove the guilt and shame that plagues our conscience. What we need is a place of refuge, not a church or a garden, but a place that the hymn writer called near to the heart of God. That is what the following chapters deal with. In the Old Testament, they were sinners, just as we still are today, and so many lived so very far away from the temple in Jerusalem and needed protection from the wrath they so deserved. That protection was found in six places called the Cities of Refuge, cities where courts were set up to hear the cases of crimes and to know the certainty of offenses and make judgments for justice. A modern court of law owes its very existence to the biblical pattern laid out here in Joshua chapter 20. Now let's begin in Joshua chapter 20 as we look at the cities of refuge. Joshua chapter 20 with me. Now, we see in Joshua chapter 20 the provisions of cities for places of refuge from wrath. Let's look at Joshua chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out from you cities of refuge, whereof spoke unto you by the hand of Moses. And then we drop down to verses 7 and 8. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramath and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. Now let's look at, compare this what it says in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21 with me. In Exodus 21, in verses 12 and 13, it says, He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place where he shall flee. And of course, he's talking about the cities of refuge. So we see that there are six cities, three on the east and three on the west of Jordan, basically equidistant from each other. Each seems to refer to Christ. Look in Hebrews chapter 6 with me. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verses 17 and 18, we read, Wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And of course, our refuge is Jesus Christ, amen, today. Amen, this side of Calvary. Now, it seems that each seems to refer to Christ. First, let's look at the meanings of the cities. Kadesh and Galilee, Naphtali, means to separate, consecrate, make holy. Shechem and Ephraim means diligent, ready to sustain, bear burdens. And of course, as we see, these names really apply or refer to Christ, amen. He was holy. He was separated, amen. And we see he was one to bear our burdens. And then we see Jathrabah, Hebron, and Judah means to bring together, amen. And of course, we know that the blood of Jesus Christ brings each sinner who receives Jesus Christ by faith as their personal Savior, brings them to God, who at one time we were an enmity with God, but the blood of Jesus Christ brings us together with God. We're reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Bezer and Reuben means protection, fortress, security, and of course every one of these apply to Jesus Christ. We can see that very easily. He is our fortress. He is our protection. We do have eternal security in him, amen. And then Ramoth and Gad means exalted or raised high, amen. Amen. And he is the exalted one. He is been raised high by the Father, amen. If Jesus Christ be lifted up, all men will be drawn to him, amen, we know. In fact, we're told over there in the book of Philippians chapter 2, in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then Golan, out of the tribe of Manasseh, means the way, the passage. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ is, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. And he is the passageway, or the passage to salvation, is he not? Over there in the Gospel of John, amen, in chapter number 10, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture, amen. And it's interesting that each one of these cities, their names, has something connected or referring to Jesus Christ. There's no accidents with God, amen, and how he set up these six cities and the names of these six cities, what they mean, all referring to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a bit of a note, these six cities will become some of the most important cities throughout the rest of the Old Testament, and they will be mentioned more often than all others except for Jerusalem. Now let's look at the purpose of the cities. Amen. Let's go and turn our attention again to Joshua chapter 20. And we'll read down through together verses 3 to 9 in Joshua chapter 20. It says, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, and they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, under the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh and Galilee and Mount Naphtali and Shechem and Mount Ephraim and Kirjath-Arabah, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramath and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Now, we see then the purpose for the cities were, number one, for the protection of the innocent. And innocent until proven guilty is the bedrock of individual freedoms. The person was protected until the death of the high priest, and the reason for this was to allow for a cooling off period. Amen. You know, sometimes maybe the family member that was killed, but not intentionally, is still upset, still very mad, and goes to pursue the person that killed their loved one. Amen. And they're hot-headed, and they're not thinking straight. Amen. So allowed for a cooling off period. It provides for a judicial hearing of the facts in a court setting, with the judges present for fairness, among elders, you know, mature and wise folks, and not the immature folks. Amen. A high court was to be set up to evaluate the murder cases. There was to be no self-styled vigilantism. Amen. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 19 for a moment. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, in verses 15 through 21, we read, "And one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, and any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouths of three witnesses, shall the matter be established." So there had to be at least two witnesses, amen, that witnessed the murder. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both men, between whom the controversy is, shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. These courts were for violent crimes and offenses against life. Every city and village had their own lower courts to handle thefts and small crimes. And let's turn to Numbers 35, for God establishing this in the law. Look in Numbers 35. Numbers 35 with me. In Numbers 35, we begin reading in verse number 9. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come over Jordan unto the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither which killeth any person at unawares." You know, in other words, he didn't do it. It wasn't premeditated murder. "And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not." Of course, avenger is the one that's trying to get the revenge for the person killing someone that he knew. And he goes on, he says, "And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, the man that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall you have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side, Jordan, and three cities ye shall give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person or wears may flee thither." So we see then that this was established for everyone, not only for the Jews, but any stranger or sojourner in their land would have to adhere by this law. "And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death." And of course, we're talking about premeditated murder here. If he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death." And again, it was an intentional. He knew what he was doing. Amen. "And if he was aware," in other words, not unaware, "or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death." And of course, now he's talking about, again, different ways of killing someone with different instruments, with different weapons. But again, the motive is premeditated. It's aware. So this is a murderer, and he is to be put to death. "Now, the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by lying of wait that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer which he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have case upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his arm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments." Again, now he's talking about something that was unintentional, unawares. He didn't mean to do this. Amen. "Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments, and the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to a city of refuge whither he was fled, and he will abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of the blood." So that person who slayed someone unintentionally was to stay in the city of refuge. And if he came out of its border and the revenger of blood found him and he killed him, then that revenger of blood would not be guilty, because that person who killed someone under the law was to stay in that city of refuge and not come out. Because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest, but after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So the slayer was to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest died. Then he could return into his land of possession. "So these things shall be for a statue of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. By one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die." Again, we saw that the thing has to be established, amen, by two or more witnesses. "Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And you shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the sea of refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the high priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit it wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. So what the word of God says in the law was, if a murderer, who committed murder, premeditated murder, did it awares, knew what he was doing, was not put to death, and the land was to be was defiled. Amen. So America is being defiled because in a lot of states there is no capital punishment. A murderer is put in prison for life with no parole, but the word of God says that person is to be put to death or the land is defiled. Amen. Now, we want to look at the principles of operation, how the cities worked. Now, God places a high price upon the life of a human. Manslaughter and unintentional homicides are able then to be separated from premeditated murders. It's not for the protection of murderers. A murderer must be killed. So the cities of refuge, as we've been reading here, we've seen that it's not for a murderer. A murderer should be put to death. Paul even said this about himself. Look at what in the book of Acts for a minute. In the book of Acts, in chapter 25, Paul says something very interesting in verses 10 and 11. He says this, "Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. Where I ought to be judged to the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die." See, Paul, no. He said, if I'm a murderer, put me to death. Amen. If I've committed murder, premeditated murder, put me to death. Without just punishment of murderers, the heart of man will only grow more wicked. Amen. And we know that. Protection and judicial hearing to be implied to both the national Jew and the stranger in the land. The law and God's grace was not exclusive to just the Jews. Amen. And we read that in Numbers. We saw that it applied. The one law applied both to the Jew and the stranger, the Gentile that was living amongst the Jew. Amen. This law. If that Gentile murdered someone, he was to be put to death. If it was done unintentional homicide or manslaughter, then he was to go to a city of refuge, stay there until the death of the high priest, just like a Jew would have to abide by that law. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 29, it says, "Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also." So what applied to the Jew also applied to the Gentile. And it's just from the Jews, amen, it's just for the Jews that the message was to be proclaimed. Amen. This message of the law and how those that committed murder were to be put to death, and those that committed unintentional homicide or manslaughter were to go to the city of refuge. An accidental death must be protected from the revenge of blood, family revenge, in other words. See, the next of kin was responsible for their brother's welfare. And justice was not served until payback, revenge, was executed. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4 for a moment. Genesis chapter 4 with me. And of course, in Genesis chapter 4, we see where Cain murders Abel. Amen. And in Genesis chapter 4, in verses 10 through 13, we read, "And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." Amen. So we see that the earth cried out for revenge. Amen. For the revenge of Abel's blood, who Cain, his brother, had murdered. In Leviticus chapter 24, let's turn there to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, we read in verses 15 through 21, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the strangers, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as it hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. He that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. He that killeth a man, he shall be put to death." So we see that justice was not served until a payback, revenge, executed. Amen. There under the Old Testament law. Romans chapter 13 for a moment. Romans chapter 13. And in Romans chapter 13, we want to look at the first four verses in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. Wheresoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist him shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." And of course, that's why we have government, to execute justice, although it's not being done in America today. Amen. A murderer is to be put to death. If you do well, then you don't have anything to be afraid of. But if you do evil, then God has set up a government to take care of the murderer. Amen. And let's compare with Romans 12, verse 17 through 21. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Lie peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Amen. And of course, what this is talking about, it's not doing, people would probably use this to say, well, there's no capital punishment, and God hasn't done away with capital punishment. Amen. But we should not, if someone murders someone in our family, we shouldn't go and murder them. We should allow the courts of justice, amen, to take care of that person. Amen. But this is talking about people doing you wrong in some way. You know, in the body of Christ, Christians have a tendency to not to act the way they should act and harm other Christians, and we're not to take revenge, amen. We're to turn them over to the Lord, amen. Someone does us wrong, just turn them over to the Lord. Let the Lord handle it, amen. And if we treat our enemies, feed them and give them food and drink and give them kindness, it's a heaping of coal on them, amen. It's heaping a coal upon their head, the Bible says, and not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. The Old Testament atonement could not cover several things, and that included murder, and that also adultery was one of them. And of course, David, God was merciful to David because under the Old Testament law, he committed both murder and adultery and should have been put to death. Amen. But but praise God, the Old Testament atonement, the blood of bull and goats couldn't cover those things. But today, the New Testament atonement can, amen. Because we have a better refuge, the Jesus Christ, because we have a better high priest, amen. Looking in Hebrews chapter 6 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 17 through 20. It says, wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed in it by an oath, that by two immutable things, immutable means never changing, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before him. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have a better high priest. We have a refuge, a better refuge in Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, a murderer, amen, still, someone that commits premeditated murder should be put to death. But amen, that if that murderer repents of their sin and gets right with God and believes on Jesus Christ and receives Jesus Christ, amen, for the payment of his sins, including murder, then the blood of Jesus Christ will cover that sin and that murderer will end up in heaven. But under the Old Testament, amen, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away those sins, amen. No, sir. Those that committed murder and adultery, except for some cases like King David, God was merciful unto him. He could have taken away his salvation, but he didn't, amen. That's what it means when it's sure mercies of David, amen. But those who committed murder and adultery under the Old Testament were put to death. They went straight to hell, amen. But today, any sin can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. We have a better high priest, amen, whoever liveth to make intercession for you and I. We have a better refuge, amen, than those cities of refuge that we just learned about. Well, this ends our lesson on the cities of refuge, lesson number 21, Joshua chapter 20. So at this time, we're going to end the lesson here, and we're